cliffcentral.com.
That's right. The T-Health Show is just one of the many shows you will find on cliffcentral.com. Mm-hmm. And Simpiwe sits in on that show every week. She's yes. part of the lineup there. I can't believe you girls didn't know a 32A cup is smaller than a 34A cup, for example. I mean, that seems so obvious to me. I know that the circumference is the number.
Yes.
And the cup is the cup size.
Yeah, but
cup
you
size,
would assume but that the cup size doesn't change. So an A is an A all round.
Mm.
And then a B is a B all round. That's why it was like, oh, it's interesting to find out that it's an A cup is actually different sizes.
Yeah, basically, if you don't listen to this show, you're gonna miss out on a lot of important information. Ask Simpiwe. Every week's incredible. I mean, yes, like, there's yes. always something amazing that you discover there.
The 32 relates to the bandwidth.
Yeah, correct.
Yes,
and then the
bandwidth. Posture. Yeah, like an internet
And then the letter is the size of the
volume of the bricks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Common knowledge, guys.
That's, yeah, but so you get you A, B, C. Right, but because they are ranked.
You get like double A.
Yes.
Oh,
so
man.
Then you also get double D or double G.
Yeah.
So, and you would assume that all the A cups are the same size.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's interesting to find out that an A cup now is not necessarily, they're not all the same size.
So does it only go to B once it's hit three A's? Or can it go from a single
no,
A to
so,
a B?
No, so... I mean, very. So A's are usually just the smallest one you can get.
Yes.
Mm. So it means you got very little titty.
Okay. You flat chested.
Yeah, yeah. So that just is a thing.
Yeah.
Then B's a little slightly. Bit of titty. C is like medium sized titty. D's big titty.
And
not even
G,
that big
F.
Actually. GF goes all the way up.
Oh yeah, like there are some ladies that have some milkshakes. They are big.
And let's be fair. There are a lot of women who still struggle to find bras big enough.
Oh yes, it's a thing. Like you can spend, if you have big boobs, easily like $2,000 on just a decent bra. Because A, if you walked into a mall, most of the commercial stores don't cater for women that have bigger boobs.
Yeah.
So you have to get it made, or you have to go to a boutique. And of course, now you're
having to have handmade bras. Is some place you go in, they like they take the huge measuring tape out and they weigh it. They're like, what sort of underwire do you want? And there's some woman in the back with a hammer and nails like working on it.
Like it's. Yeah, when it comes to like the bra world, it is
fascinating.
Like even women themselves, they wear the wrong bra size and cups and they have not figured it out.
I have friends who've bought like lingerie for their girlfriends or their wives when we've gone overseas in a group or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a complicated business.
Yeah.
Because you go to that shop and you're really just hoping you've got the right thing.
Yes.
You're talking coding, Python, like...
Yeah, it's difficult.
3-4-C, forward slash.
Right, and then the woman at the shop will go, are you sure about that? Because that doesn't seem right. And you suddenly start
Here's a picture.
You start second
and
guessing.
And there's different styles as well. And not everybody, like there's push-up bras, there's T-shirt bras.
Right.
So like,
there's wired versus elastic.
And then there's like sports bras. Mm-hmm. So depending on what your missus likes, you need to cater for her. Because if she's not like a lover of a push-up bra and you get like something lacy that's sexy, she's still not going to like it.
Well, Arbot says, I've worked on a 44 triple G once for a tattoo.
Sure.
Wow.
When
that
does
is
it
massive.
When does it start adding onto the letter? That's the question.
It's as the cup size get bigger and bigger.
But does it go through to F and then loop back around, then go double A, double D, double E?
So there are even numbers, letters rather, that go beyond G.
Oh, man.
But it depends. You've got to really find people who make them. As Simpy was saying, it's not easy to find them.
Yeah.
Congo Chris says, I mean, for example, Leanne Moll gets her bras forged by a blacksmith. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And then, like, ladies suffer from back pain because they're too big.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have to do surgery or breast reduction, which another chat.
Mad.
We talk about this all day and we won't run out of things to discuss. But we do have to look at a couple of other things. So this, first of all, Flax, you're actually going away for the weekend. You're going to the bush, which I know you love to do.
Let me tell you about this place. I think this area is so underrated, but it is so beautiful. Because
well, careful, because you're going to say this and then everyone's going to go there. And
no, it's big.
Okay,
no one's going to find me.
Go for it.
Okay.
because it's only about an hour's drive out of Joburg, you can literally leave work, get there before sunset. You can see lions and every Dino King.
Oh, yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
That place, there are some legit lodges in there. Mm-hmm. Like an hour out of Joburg. It's like driving from here to the Vol, but you're going to see like the big, I think they've got the full big five, or maybe they're missing one or two.
That's very good value.
Okay. You get the hot.
I like the idea of not having to go for like 5-6 hours to get to the Kruger National Park. I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm not a big bush guy anyway. I don't want to go and drive around for 5 days looking for animals. It's not my thing.
I mean, it's a very different game you'll see in Dino King. Obviously, the Kruger trumps it.
Yeah.
But it's still a nice like hour drive to go see some legit wildlife.
Here's an interesting story. Mm-hmm. So this came up yesterday while we were talking about some of the things in the news. There was this British Airways pilot who had a cocaine-fueled party on a night off and then was unable to fly his plane back to London. Married, he's got a child, was allegedly snorting cocaine off of hookers in Joburg just hours before he was due to fly a plane full of passengers back to Heathrow. The Jordan Belfort-inspired pilot caused a 12-hour delay of a plane that cost British Airways £100,000. The information came to light after he himself bragged about it to a colleague who sounded the alarm. And oh, what an asshole of a colleague.
Do you have the message there? I screenshotted it.
No, let's
I'll hand it to you.
So before you read that, let's just look at the flight path here. Where was he when he did all of this? Joburg. Joburg is, tell me this isn't a fun place. For a pilot to cost his airline £100,000 because of a big cocaine-fueled party. Is this the...
Yeah, and then
you
just...
Read it. You can read it. Go for it.
So Mike Beaton is his mate.
That's his name.
And then he's messaging his mate. It was very, very naughty. So the mate goes, tell me everything. I hope it's even naughtier than us. So he goes, right, get ready. So standard Joburg setup, bar, grill house, Tiger's Milk. So I assume that's Melrose Arch.
Maybe.
Or could be the one in Bryanston.
Or Bedford.
Or Bedford, yeah.
Getting chatted to this young Spanish bird and this Welsh chick who's about our age in the bar. Yeah. End up sat with them at the table in Grindle House and walking them down to Tiger's Milk. Mm. It's Sunday, so it's really not that busy, but music, dancing, and a few more drinks. Mm. At the bar, these two local lads who live
on a Sunday.
Sunday.
Wow, that's great work.
Who live in the compound. They take a fancy to the Welsh, and she's very drunk, so I'm keeping an eye on her. Mm. Obviously, ends up being shots and whatnot with these two lads. Turns out that they're absolute wasters. But not bad people. We all walk, stagger, back up to the hotel bar for one last one before bed. Welsh and one of these guys is getting it on very well, but she's told him that I'm her boyfriend. Couple of drinks in the bar, a bit of snogging, and then we're somehow all on our way to this dude's flat. Welsh has decided that I should actually be her boyfriend. Spanish has hooked up with one of the two local lads, and he's having her... I think it's tits sucked on their sofa.
That's great.
They've blurted out some words yet. We've polished off a bottle of vodka at this place now, and the girls are dancing topless.
I'm regretting asking Flex to read this because...
I feel like I'm not doing this justice. Do you want to read it?
I'll try and make it sound a little more exciting.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so I just scroll here, right?
No.
It's a screenshot.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, came back to my senses a little and thought things were getting way out of hand. Decided to rescue the girls and get them back to the hotel. He's a nice guy. Stayed the night with Welsh, shagged for ages. I guess the coke played a part, and then was so fucked I couldn't even lift my hand.
Wait, you'd left off the top part.
Welsh decided, okay, all right. So this is where she decided I should actually be her boyfriend. Spanish was hooked up with one of the local lads, having her titties sucked on the sofa. We polished off a bottle of vodka at this place. Now the girls are dancing topless. I've lost my shirt somewhere, and one of the local lads produces a plate with a few lines of coke. So then there's a debate about whose chest is the best to do a bump off of. Not going to lie, I may have started this with ulterior motives. Ooh. That's the story of how I ended up snorting coke off a girl's titties in Joburg. Yeah, not a massive bucket list item for me either, but one to tick off, I guess. Laughing face. So... All right. I mean,
do you think the colleague was jealous?
I think the colleague was like setting him up for this because, like, tell me everything.
Then I'm going to
go and tell the company.
Well, He actually gave details. Right. So I would assume that they're actually really good mates.
Okay, but right? I'm conflicted here. Like, half of me definitely does not want to be in a plane with a pilot who's off his head, drunk, hungover, coming off of a coke binge. I don't want that.
Yes.
I don't think it's a responsible thing. And you've got hundreds of people
that
you have to get safely to a destination.
It's illegal.
Thousands of k's away.
Yes.
Yeah. So that part of me, like, you know, you shouldn't allow any of this to happen. I'm very much on that side still. Mm-hmm. But then there's another part of me that's like bro coding this and going, yeah, I know it's probably what people would consider very bad behavior and this is not acceptable and all the rest. But like, you don't rat out your friend to the company. I find myself seriously conflicted on this.
Unless his friend, this happened all before the flight and his friend felt like, oh my God, maybe his friend was a pilot too and knew he couldn't fly a plane. So I have to have like a fiduciary duty to tell the company.
I don't think so, because I'm basing it on the level of detail that he went into. Yeah. Like, he didn't say, oh dude, I had a great night. Did this crazy thing. Like, I tried cocaine for the first time. It was like, no, he went into detail of the night, of how it started, the progression of it. So I think they're really good mates, you know, because you wouldn't spill
anymore.
That. Yeah, you wouldn't spill that to no, just
the
like
fact
any...
that these screenshots are now being sent all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think maybe he heard the story and he was like, and you didn't call me, fuck you, dude. And then like it was one of those moments, like, wait. And also, I think the other side is maybe because they lost the company lost so much money, it's like heads have to roll. And he's like, I'm not taking the fall for you, bro. Like, if anything's gonna happen,
I know
they're not gonna blame me.
See, that is a very sensible approach, Simpiwe, but there's still something about it that bothers me.
And this guy, he trained probably for years to become a pilot and just lost it in Sunday. He should have stayed home and watched Cop Blanche.
Because that's what they do. And it's the culture.
And it's probably...
No, you can't do drugs if you're a pilot.
No, I'm not saying the drug part, but I'm saying they're living life on the edge. And I think that's one of the things that happens. Mm. That it's when you're a celebrity, you do your own thing and then you're like, oh my gosh, this is what people do. But I think it's the same thing with pilots. They travel.
Really? You think they live that...
No, well, not that crazy. I think that's why he was like, this is a highlight.
Here's the problem though. Is that he's got a wife and kids at home. So that
must life be boring.
Yeah,
must life be boring?
Again, no, but
no, that's a bit of a spanner in the mix there.
If you're a single guy and you do some crazy shit and who knows, you don't have to fly a plane with 400 people in it, different rules apply. Mm. I just think this is, it's a huge story in the UK at the moment. They haven't stopped talking about it. And of course, South Africa's implicated. That's why we're interested.
Yeah, hey, Tiger's Milk. Ish, not getting a good
Who
rep
knew?
There.
No, I mean, it's not bad
no,
for Tiger's
No, it's got
milk.
Nothing to do with Tiger's Milk.
I think it's impressive.
We could
put on a show on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Who knew? I thought South Africa had become more boring since lockdown. But there we go. So, I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Oh, I read he's going to jail.
No, he's probably going to jail.
It's tickets for him. I just hope it was worth it. I really hope that night was worth it.
No, I don't think jail's worth anything, eh?
It didn't matter what happened on that night. Like, he's got major regret now.
Does he get trialed here?
No,
because this is where it took place.
He'll be tried in the UK. I mean, this is a totally UK thing. Mm. But if he ever comes back to South Africa, they're going to say, you and drugs, huh? Tell us about that. So I don't think he's going to.
Oh, he'll be banned from South Africa.
No, I don't think so. We're too chilled for that. I think they would welcome
also
him.
Also, our records
are
so shitty, he could probably walk in here. It's like Al-Qaeda could walk in here.
Yeah.
Set up a camp right outside O.R. Tambo and everyone would be fine with it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is also interesting because, Flax, you will remember what a big deal NFTs were just a short while ago, right?
Yes.
And people were spending millions, including like Paris Hilton had bought a whole set
Logan
of NFTs.
Logan Paul.
They'd bought these things for millions of dollars. They say now, after a study that's been conducted on the price of thousands of collections, the answer as to what these things are worth now is zero. Mm. Apparently, 95% of the digital collectibles that everybody was so crazy about just a few years ago are now worthless.
It was all perceived value.
Yeah.
Like, create your own demand. You buy something and you're like, oh my God, I just bought this for $50, but it is now worth $100 million because I own it and no one else owns it.
And it's total smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So apparently a report by Dapp Gamble, based on data provided by NFT Scan and CoinMarketCap, showed that out of 73,000 NFT collections, the researchers looked at 69,000 of them, slightly over 95% of them, and they realized they had a market cap of zero in Ether. So by their estimates, almost 23 million people in the world hold these worthless assets. So I just want to say,
a good scam.
Yeah, I just want to say to anybody who did buy these things, and I never did. I was always very skeptical of them. I remember people coming on the show trying to explain it to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it. I thought I was stupid. I was sort of tempted once or twice to maybe dabble, but I didn't go there. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you think this is a scam or just a bad business idea? Because it's not illegal.
It's you know, what happens is that people, there are these frenzies in the world. We've talked about shoes. We've talked about cryptocurrency. We've talked about NFTs. Some of them retain their value. Some of them don't. Mm-hmm. There've been periods in human history where people have like stockpiled gold, where people have stockpiled property, where people have stockpiled shares. Some of them retain their value, some of them do not. But the NFT situation is not looking good for anyone who's sitting with, I don't know, maybe you spent a whole bunch of your money on NFTs and you're looking at it now going, this is a piece of shit.
You know why I say it's a scam? Is because when everybody was talking about it, everyone was raving and was like, this is like the new thing, it's the best thing, wada, wada, wada. There was no negative comment. And that's when you know, everyone was just praising it. Every single person.
That should,
they were like,
get the alarm bells going.
Yeah, it was just too good to be true.
You didn't buy anything. No NFTs, Simpure.
No NFTs. I mean, Bitcoin, but like tiny amounts. That's like.
Yeah, but that's crypto. So that's different.
Yeah. So that's how you kind of know it's too good to be true. In this thing called life, like, guys, like if it's too good to be true, just know.
Yeah, then it's too good to be true.
Just know that something is off and maybe you should just do more research. That's all, you know?
Yeah, and Carl says, now the rest of the world knows how Zimbabweans feel holding their own currency. That's about right. Man. They can hang those NFTs up in their Meta properties. Thinking ahead, Gareth. You remember when people were buying property in the
Metaverse?
The Metaverse.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Remember that shit?
Yeah. I don't know, guys.
Well, I think with that one, let's not.
I still think Zuckerberg's onto something. Yeah, he's just ahead of his time.
Oh, my God. He launched Ray-Ban Meta glasses.
Oh, those
yesterday.
Things are horrible.
No. So they look just like normal sunglasses, but you, or like spectacles, but you can use them as, I don't know, if they could tell you about what a building is.
It's They've built like in AI.
Like a heads-up display. Mm. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a place for this one day. We've seen it in sci-fi movies where, you know, literally you get a heads-up display of all the information that you need on someone before you meet them, and you're like, who's that again? Oh, that's Simpiwe Mtetwa, and it comes up on the, you know, and you can kind of see it through the glasses. There's possibly a place for it.
Did you see what he launched yesterday with the AI?
So, well, are we talking about the same event? I think it must
no,
be.
No, I'm talking about the one with Kendall Jenner and Tom Brady. So basically, Mark Zuckerberg has created this new AI that like runs your home. You know how like Iron Man had Jarvis?
Jarvis, yeah.
So Mark Zuckerberg now has Jarvis, but it's in the form of different celebrities with different personalities. So you talk to your home, but depending on what you asked, a different celebrity comes up. So if you ask a cooking related thing, like give me a recipe, or you can
who would want Kendall Jenner running their house? That's a disaster waiting to happen.
This is an ad like from, well, they made the ad a reality when Alexa lost her voice and then Cardi B was the.
Oh, that would be funny.
And then they're ripping that. So you'd be like, Alexa, what's 1 + 1? And then she'd be like, girl, what are you asking me? I don't know. No. You know what
Imagine like a cheeky like attitude like Cardi B's from your home, like whatever it is, Alexa system. I mean, it would be horrible. Imagine she like back chats you like, switch on the light. I ain't gonna switch no fucking lights on, bitch. That kind of stuff.
I think it's so sick. You'll literally open your fridge and say, hey, Kendall, I've got... So they're not actually named, like Kendall isn't Kendall.
Okay.
Kendall will have like some other name.
But it'll be her voice.
Yeah, her voice. So you're like, hey, Jarvis, I've got eggs, cheese, butter, and bread in my fridge. What can I make? Yeah. And they will tell you what you can make.
I don't know if I want that.
I don't know if I want the celebrity aspect.
No, you don't have to have it. But the people who do want it, again, they're going to be people who do it before the rest of us. Good. They can test it out for us. We'll see if it works.
Smart homes are the future.
I think you're right.
100%.
Yes. I mean, especially for things like, you know, switch on the lights before you get home or put on the oven because I need to have it hot by the time I get there. I can put the stuff straight in. Yes. What is missing from the fridge? Do I need to stop at the shops and buy anything? Yeah, of course.
Let me tell you my greatest thing that I have in my house because I've gone full smart home.
Have you?
I have this fear that my fiance will leave the oven on.
Oh, yeah.
So what I've done is I've gone into the DB board and I've put a smart switch on the oven, an isolator switch.
Ooh.
So if she ever leaves it on and like we're in the car to the movies and she's like, did I turn the oven off?
You can check.
From my phone, I just switch down that.
I've got that for the geezers in my house.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got the Sonoff on the geezers as well. Yeah. I just, have you worked out.
My geezer on right here, right now.
But have you worked out a pattern on when best to switch your geezer on and off so that it uses the least amount? No, will you message me that? Because I need that. I haven't worked it out because I'm scared.
Have you got
like
solar?
No, I don't have solar.
Not yet. Well,
but then. I did a hybrid inverter. So when I save up for solar, I'll get solar.
Okay. Well, then obviously during the day is the best time to do that. And you'd be surprised how long your water stays hot for.
Yeah.
You don't need to have that geezer on all day.
So are you switching it off during the day and then on at night?
So I do mine twice. I do it because I wake up early in the morning most of the days.
Mm-hmm.
Mine goes on before I wake up. So that I have hot water to shower and all the rest of it in the morning. And then it goes on again at like 4 PM for an hour. Hour and a half if you have to, if you really want like boiling hot water. But an hour is usually all right. And that will last the rest of the time there's hot water as well.
But does it not use more electricity to go from zero to hot than from like hot to just maintaining hot?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe there's some experts in
that's
the comments.
That's what I can't work out.
Listen, we've got to move on because, Congo Chris, I love this. Gilbert Gottfried to voice your house. Yes, what is it you want? That would be hilarious. All right, let's talk about today because it's World Health.
Let's start again.
Let's talk about today. It's World Heart Day. So we actually have an interview after 8 o'clock, which I think you're going to be very interested in, with Dr. Farouk Mamdou, who is actually one of the best cardiologists in the country. He is also the chair of the World Heart Congress, which is happening here in South Africa. So we'll talk about that with him in a little bit. But I met somebody the other day who is a lifestyle coach, motivational speaker, and a wellness practitioner. Also, somebody who's a cardiac arrest survivor. I met her a little while ago. Her name is Suzette Marais. She's on the line now. Hey, Suzette, how are you?
Hello, guys. Fine and you?
Good. It's good to have you on. So listen, it's World Heart Day today. And tell us your story, first of all, so we can figure out why you are interested in talking about this and where you came into the subject.
You know, it's very interesting. A few years ago, it started actually, I will just faint, won't feel very well and that sort of thing. And I will wake up and we will go to a hospital and they will just say, I have a virus. Give me some fluids, give, you know, some drips and go back home, sleep it off and it will continue like that. So initially I went to a cardiologist and he said to me, let's plant in a type of a loop recorder that's the size of your pinky. So they plant it in, you know, in your breast and just on top of your heart to monitor, you know, all the rhythms and everything 24 hours during the day.
So that they can get the information to try and figure out what's wrong.
Yes, yes. And you also have that it's actually on an app, which is amazing. So it's recorded the whole day. But if you don't feel well, you can press the app if you're in time, if you feel dizzy or whatever, and that will, you know, actually send the flag to them to say on this specific minute, hour, whatever it happened. So you know, I went. Initially, I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I decided, okay, I have to do it because it happened twice. And every time they say I have a virus. So about 10 days after the operation that they did, you know, planted the loop recorder in, it happened again, 12 o'clock, just after midnight. And I just felt death is in the room.
Wow.
I was feeling very, very ill. much, you know, I had a lot of incidents in my life due to health issues and stuff when I was young. I lost babies. It's today 26 years when I had a near-death experience in London. Also, my heart stopped for 5 seconds. I was the first woman in South Africa to undergo an operation on unborn babies in London, and I lost the twins. So it started from there, and they could never actually pick something up. And so this evening, my husband went with certain presidents in the past, Nelson Mandela, and he looked after them. He was in a secret service, so he was very skilled to actually bring, you know, a person back to life if there's an incident.
Like with CPR, because he was traveling with these VIPs, he had to learn how to do that as part of his training.
That's correct.
On this night after midnight when this happened to you, you were very lucky that you married to a man like this who could perform the CPR and keep you alive.
Correct. I call him my lifesaver. So, you know, I was actually, when I felt this started to happen, I was really drained with sweat, and I was feeling very, very ill. So I went back, I went to the bathroom just to, you know, wet my face, and I thought something is wrong, and I just had to get back to bed, and I said to him, help, and I collapsed on the bed. And he saw that, you know, I was out. And at a stage, I came back, and I look at my hands. I looked at my hands, and I thought, I'm busy dying. It's like my hands are gray. Oof. And I just felt so ill. And the bed was actually wet because of sweat. So I ended up in hospital again. And they said to me in the ER room, everything is fine, my vitals, my pulse, my EKG, they're going to give me a drip. I have a virus. And the loop recorder was in. That was a Friday. So my cardiologist, John Foster, was in Istanbul. So he said to me, if there's something, you know, they will pick it up, they'll let me know. So I knew that he was in Istanbul. So I thought, okay, what's going to happen now? It's over the weekend. The Monday morning, I went for meetings. I went to meetings, and they phoned me up. They said, you have to come in immediately. So I knew something was wrong. So when I went in, he said to me, listen, I don't know how you're sitting here. Your heart flatlined. You're very, very, very lucky that you're alive. And we need to do emergency procedure tomorrow, operation to implant a pacemaker.
Okay, so your problem was, and they only discovered this after a number of times that this has happened, you almost died, that essentially the rhythm of your heart is not regular, and that there is a neural link to your cardiac muscle. It's not firing properly.
There's an electrical problem, which means my pulse will go from during the evening, and that's normally when cardiac arrest also sometimes happens during the night.
Yeah.
So I've met a lot of people overseas on the hashtags, which are very interesting. If you go on cardiac arrest survivors, you speak to people from 24 years, 34,
right,
50, and fit and active people. And some all, you know, they will say it happens during the night normally. I'm not always, but I mean, it's actually scary. So, so he said to me, I have to go for a procedure because my pulse went from 45, 30, 15, 5, and 0.
Jesus.
Flatlined, yes.
So after that, you've obviously still got a pacemaker in, and since then you've been okay. But I mean, this is something that a lot of people are terrified of. We don't know. You always fear that this could happen to you, and even smart doctors very often can get the diagnosis wrong, right? And then, how many people do die in their sleep? How many people have a heart attack and don't even know that they've had a heart attack? So what you've spent your life since then, among other things, is it telling people about these heart conditions and getting people to pay attention to their hearts, right?
Yes. Well, I'm really, you know, advocate now for CPR because I realize wherever I go, people think I had a heart attack, which is not the same.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not the same. So people will ask me, oh, but gosh, how's it, you know, what's the difference? What's the symptoms? That sort of thing. And when I ask them, can you perform and save a life and do CPR first aid? No. And 1 out of 10 people survive cardiac arrest out of hospital.
Sure.
Which means that if you can do the CPR and you can help people, you can raise that numbers to a 5 and a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
So especially in South Africa, I don't know why, I'm also working with Clarsons and Clarsons First Aid CPR, community, the groups, and they also say that people in South Africa has this whole thing of, it won't happen to me.
Yeah.
It will only happen to other people, but it's not the truth.
So
my best friend was 34. He woke up one morning very fit. He was doing Ironman, everything. He was waking, he woke up in the morning, wasn't feeling well. The evening he passed away with the same thing.
Flax, can't you do CPR? You did training, yeah. Right? You actually know how to do that.
I can do CPR, and I reiterate what you say. I think it is so important that every South African and everyone goes and does a CPR and a choking course. You have no idea how often it will happen, and it might not be someone you even know. You could be in a restaurant and someone starts choking, that you need to know how to handle that situation.
Sure.
Even vets go for like choking courses. It is so important to know. You never know. In the worst time, it will happen. When you least expect it, it will happen.
So it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. And it's like an hour or two out of your week just to go quickly do a course.
So Suzette, just so people know, they can find you on social media. I'll put up all your handles, but you can also go to Suzette, suzette.net.za, and you've got all the information there as well. There are people who do these courses. I mean, I think it's really valuable for people to have this in their skill set, like Flex says.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, listen, I'm really happy you could make time for us this morning, and I think this is appropriate on World Heart Day. So good luck with all the work that you're doing, and I hope more and more people learn to do CPR. I think it's great that you are out there making this happen.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you so much for your time and your
Sure. guest. Nice to see you. Thank you, Suzette. There's Suzette Marais. And if you want to find her on the socials, there's her official.suzette on social media. You can find out more there. Yeah, you did first aid courses, all of that stuff.
Yeah, right? I did basic life support. So it goes basic life support, intermediate life support, and advanced life support. And the difference is, like, I think majority of the guys in the ambulances are basic life support and maybe a intermediate life support. And then advanced life support and intermediate, they can administer like more drugs, and they have those quick responding vehicles. But yeah, it's scary. And I mean, from what Suzette, right?
Yeah.
She's had some rough days. Yeah. Wow.
That happens. I mean,
that is hectic.
She lost a friend who was really fit.
She lost twins.
Yeah.
That is devastating.
I tell you what, you've got to look after yourself. And the conversation that is coming up for World Heart Day with Dr. Fatima Patel and Dr. Farouk Mamdou, I think you're going to find very interesting. Mm-hmm. They talk a little bit about all the common conditions, how the heart works, basic information that could be very, very helpful to you. You know, it's important that we don't ignore these things.
Mm. Yeah. 100%.
Your heart works so hard.
And it doesn't stop.
It never stops. Sleeping,
well, at
awake,
a stage, it
well,
does.
When it does, you
yeah,
stop.
When it does.
Yeah, when it stops, you stop. That's what Dr. Mamdou said.
But I think this goes with health in general. Like, people are so quick to be like, oh, it's not a big deal when they're in pain. And then it becomes like an everyday thing, you know, like, oh, no, I just have back pain. It's fine. I have this.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, get that sorted, because your health is everything.
Here are some comments. I mean, this has all come up now because it's World Heart Day. So Carl says, 3 weeks ago, we called to the hospital to essentially say goodbye to my mom. Long story short, they managed to insert a pacemaker, and so she's stable. Still in ICU, but not dead, so that's good.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Hardy Dave reminding us that in 1967, the 53-year-old Louis Washkansky was the first person to receive a heart transplant from Chris Barnard, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, man.
Famous South African record, yes. And then Patrick says, my father had a quadruple bypass surgery in 2020. That's a hell of an operation. Plus a hole in the heart and valve issue. I mean, that heart was just desperate to give up. But 77 years old, 30% chance, 9-hour op, went into cardiac arrest the next day, but got through. He's still alive and doing okay at 80. That's very,
well
very
out.
Good. See? Amazing stories. Patrick says, before that, the first cardiologist simply said it was a valve issue. It's also a different valve. If he never got a second opinion, certainly would be dead today. So again, you got to look after these things. There seems to be a major spike in cardiac issues in the last 2 years. If only there was something that had happened recently that all these cases have in common that we could investigate. I know what you're hinting at there, Slippery Pickle. And I used to train people, says Joking Atheist, with basic first aid, level 3 first aid. What I found scary is that during that experience, so many people had so many strange ideas of how to perform first aid.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember it was years back, maybe like 5 years ago, I thought I was having a heart attack. Like I was on the floor, my chest was on fire, like I could barely breathe.
You just ate some chilies.
No. You'll know the story.
Was this not just heartburn, as in
no.
a digestive thing?
I get to the hospital. I'm now on the ECG. Like they've rushed me through everything. I thought this was it.
You were like 5 to death.
Turns out I had caught an infection between my ribs from sear.
Oh, I remember that.
It literally felt like, I thought it was a heart attack.
Yeah,
it was so hectic.
That was a very weird thing that happened.
I got rushed to hospital. I couldn't even like lift myself off the floor. I was in so much pain.
Be careful who you spend time around. That's what I'm going to tell you. All right, so that's World Heart Day, and we'll have some more for you in a short while with Dr. Farouk Mamdou and Dr. Fatima Patel, and that's brought to you by Asino. And Dr. Patel is a doctor and the medical manager in the medical department at Asino. So lots of useful information coming up in that discussion just after 8 o'clock. Quick thing that I know is important here. Simpiwe has always, every week she brings us something useful. And today she has a theory about girl math versus boy math.
Yes.
How men and women calculate things differently.
Oh, yes. Sir.
So I'll allow this because people love your theories, even though they criticize them. So go ahead, Simpiwe.
So this started off as an innocent trend, right? Where women were sharing how they calculate things, which is called girl math. And it makes sense. Like when I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense, right? So girl math, for example, would be like, if I have a budget for today and I didn't spend anything, that means I have double for tomorrow.
I see.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, it's not logical at all, but yes. Okay,
yeah, and then it would be like buying yourself a treat for like something minor that's happening in your life because why? You deserve it. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Green lights all the way to Sandton City.
Yes.
Louis Vuitton.
Thank you.
Credit and then card. Like,
yeah, canceled plans means I'm making money.
Yeah, it's not sensible.
No, but it makes sense.
No.
I didn't go out, so I didn't spend it. Therefore, I have money in my account.
Let's just say right up front, because I know this is going to get some people very pissed off, especially some women who don't think like this. They're going to go, it's not true for me.
My gosh.
It's not true for everybody. But what Simpi was saying, I know this to be true.
Great. So this is how women kind of think. And it was fun, right?
Okay.
Until men decided to get into the chat. And then women were like, your boy math is way off. It's worse than us. And here's some boy math that we found. Boy math is how 5'10 measures 6 foot.
Look at Flex. All right, so you're rounding up. Okay, you're rounding up. I got you.
How? Why are you guys doing that?
Okay, but basically, you're now going to point out how we're not sensible either.
Yes.
So this is actually.
Men will be like, oh, you know, in Heelys, it equates to 6.
Johnny, bro, like make that make sense.
Because
right?
Guys don't want to be short, so they'll always say they'll round it up. They don't say I'm 5'5". They'll go I'm almost 6 foot.
Yeah,
right.
I'm 1'7" 3", almost exactly. 6 foot.
No. But it gets more crazy how like thinking marriage has more serious consequences than having a kid with someone. Like a lot of guys would rather have a kid with someone,
which is stupid. I agree. Very stupid because obviously the consequence of bringing a whole new human into the world.
You have to be together forever.
Yeah, and you are together forever even if you're not together because the child keeps you together. There's always going to be communication.
Yeah, it should be the other way around.
Correct.
Like it's more serious to have a kid with someone.
It is.
Yeah, but you guys clearly don't think that.
Don't point at us. I'm agreeing with you, but go ahead. What else?
I felt like this was a bit personal for the ladies. Wanting a prenup and you only make 45,000.
No, prenups are standard. They now standard law.
It should always be.
Yeah.
Listen, it is not a reflection of how much you love or don't love each other to do a prenup. You need to do this. It's like going into business with someone. You need to have contracts so that when it falls apart, you can say, but look, these are the things we agreed to. You can't have feelings about this. This is just how it is.
It has such a bad rep, but it's like putting on a swimming costume when you jump into a pool. Like, it's what you do.
Exactly. You don't, yeah, right.
Okay. And don't then go in blind. The last one, which I totally understand, is how every week guys will wear a soccer t-shirt with their favorite, you know, teams or like their favorite artists, but will judge, you know, the girls when they wear like Beyonce tops or, you know, Taylor Swift tops. You guys look at us.
I don't know if that's not maths, but yes, I hear you.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. So it's that thing of like girls and guys don't think the same, but hey, I'm just saying.
You got anything to say about that?
I mean, it's pretty accurate. guys will wear their soccer shirts and group together and then chirp the one guy who supports the other team. And
and you guys think that's cool. That's so, okay.
Conga Chris going straight for the throat. He says, girl math is expecting some handsome millionaire to sweep you off your feet when you're a sea hag with three kids.
Jeez.
Okay. All right. You had to take it there. You just had to take it. But also, guys. If you're going to... Conga Chris, if you're going to hit below the belt, because there's also another one that I saw was boy math is like having 12 bodies, but you've never made anyone come.
Ooh. So your body count is high, but you know. But you don't know that as a guy because girls lie. I mean, that's what some guys will say.
But also boy math is, you know, having two kids when you're alive and then when you've died, have five kids.
And they find out at the funeral.
Hectic. Yeah. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Oh, there's been French presidents where the like mistress arrives at the funeral. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's crying as hard as the wife.
I would think guy math is like, where's the next petrol station? How far can I get off an empty tank?
that's a big part of it, too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, I hope it's a lot of downhills. I hope it's a lot of downhills to the next petrol station. Because you forget. You're like, oh, shit, I was meant to fill up yesterday. I'll be all right, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's no time to stop. I got this appointment at whatever time. You get there and you're like, oh, shit. I just realized I got no petrol in the car.
But are you the type to fill up when it's almost empty? Or are you the type to fill up when it's empty? Because I know a lot of females, they like to, as soon as it hits, like, even just, just under the half tank, they're like, no. I need to go fill up.
I mean, I'm a bit obsessive about this, so I'll usually, as long as I'm paying attention, I'll never get below like a quarter of a tank.
Mm. Oh, you don't enjoy reserve tank. No, okay.
But it has happened a number of times where I've been, and it literally says 0 kilometers on the thing.
And you just like,
and I switch off the air conditioning,
the music,
everything's off. And I'm like, right, we're going to have to, guys, let's pull our shit
neutral.
Together. Yeah. You think you're commanding a spaceship and you're like, all right, we got to slide in here, downhill.
Yeah, like, I've done the calculation. Going to neutral. I've done the, where it was like, you have 50 kilometers left. And then I was like, where's the nearest like garage station? And it was like, 51 k's
out.
And then I'm like, okay, but we can make it. And then you drive super slow. I'm there 20 and you're just like neutral.
If you have a fancier car that actually has the measurement of how many meters per 100 kilometer, you're like watching that thing like a hawk.
And then it goes, and then it does this thing, because my car sometimes has a mood. It'll be like 50 and then 45, 40. And you haven't moved. And you're like, wait, don't, why are you moving?
And it's because the petrol's doing this in the tank,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He's like, no, come back. And then it'll go back to like 49. You're like, okay. And then it's like 30. Ganjani, I get so nervous. And I'm like, okay. And then you make it.
Do you know how like your car will say empty and then will tell you your range? In my car, when it goes empty, the range eliminates. There's no range given.
You are blind from there.
Oh man, you don't know if I don't know if my car's a reserve tank. I don't know how much longer I got after. It's full panic.
Jesus.
So living on the edge.
Arbot says that E in the petrol gauge means enough. You'll be all right. Jeez. There are people like Azalea says that we travel with extra diesel because my husband often will run out of petrol. So they actually keep like
jerry cans.
Yeah, in the boot. Okay. That's crazy. I've never done that.
No.
Please tell me one thing that man is allowed to fake, to have that is fake. Just one, says Max Sony. I don't know if Max getting like very touchy about something there.
It's not personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. None of this is offensive to me. I really don't think any of your things on the list. Yeah. What it does prove is that we all... we think that men are more logical if we're men, and if we're women, we think we're more logical.
Yes.
But this just proves your girl math, boy math thing, that while women can be pointed out to have no logic at all when it comes to spending money, for example, guys have no logic at all when it comes to all those things you mentioned.
Yes.
Right. I think that's a good point. So you're not as smart as you think you are, is essentially what it is. I have a secret 2-liter petrol in my boot for emergencies, says Slippery Pickle.
Secret. Oh, hectic.
Yeah. I mean, that a lot of people do that.
Isn't that illegal? Isn't it illegal to carry petrol in your car? It has to be on the outside.
I don't think so. I mean, who knows what the rules are, because the Metro cops will find something wrong if they want to find something wrong, right? Yeah. They were stopping people the other night and checking their licenses and things. I was like, this just looks like they're looking for money.
Yeah, they are.
They're not looking to save. Yeah, they're not looking to save anybody's life or check whether your car's roadworthy or lights or... George will know this stuff later.
I put in a new license disc last night, and I don't know if you also find it traumatizing to cut out that circle.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Why is it
traumatizing?
I can't follow the line and then I cut a number.
And then you're just like, I don't want to make a mistake, but I also don't want to leave too much. I want to be as close to that circle. Yes,
must the circle line be in the picture or must you cut it out? Yes, I have no idea.
You've just validated that entire experience for me, because I thought I was crazy. I was like,
Just give me a pre-cut.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
Guys, is this really what bothers you?
Yes.
There's even a little black line around it. But must you cut? What, did you not go to primary school with the blunt scissors? You remember the round-nosed ones that you learned to cut?
Here's my excuse. You only have kitchen
scissors to cut it.
Okay, that's you. Here's my excuse. I'm left-handed, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't like using left-handed scissors. They're uncomfortable. I don't know why. They just don't do the job for me. So I use the normal scissors, and still, it's just a mission and a half. And it's like, why am I cutting a circle? And my big age, why?
I'm embarrassed and horrified for you. Like, you never sat in like nursery school and learned how to cut things out?
Yeah, I did that when I was six.
Like, I thought this was basic hand-eye coordination.
I did that when I was six.
Yeah, but if it goes wrong here, it goes very wrong.
No.
Yeah. There's no coming back.
Guys, the way you're talking about this, you'd think it was like the toughest challenge in the world. That only 2% of the population ever
get up there.
We're going to do a little thing on the show where I'm going to draw a picture and you're going to have to cut it out.
No!
Pee-wee's going to shit herself. I can't believe you guys can't do
this. You're making me nervous already just thinking of like having to cut something out.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So Azalea says you can photocopy your license disc and keep the original at home.
Okay.
That is a genius idea, actually.
See, there's always a way around.
You know how many times I'll open the window and it will actually sometimes nearly fly out the window out of that license disc holder?
Why?
You've got one of those little pouches you put it in, right?
Yeah, I put it on the side of the road. I've nearly lost that license disc so many times.
This is an interesting point. So petrol expires fairly quickly. Storing it in your car is a bad idea. Just stop nonsense and fill up. Yeah.
Petrol expires?
Well, no. It's not. What he's talking about is that it's volatile,
mm-hmm.
As in it very quickly converts from liquid into gas, especially if it's a hot day. You'd have to vent it a couple of times. In other words, open the top.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, not a good idea. Because fumes of petrol... Highly
in like a Coke bottle.
Highly flammable.
Not of course.
Not a good idea. So good point being made. You see, Carl's very sensible. We should listen to him more often. And some people here are saying that they can't believe that you guys can't cut. And I can't believe
the judgment.
We should start a company where we pre-cut the license.
Oh, please. Do you think people... It's only you two who can't do this.
The Hall of Santon will opt in.
People don't like doing things. Let me tell you something. People will pay for convenience. They will.
Mm.
And the mere fact that I am going to just...
So listen to this. Talk about convenience. I found out the other day, so we were talking about solar just now. The solar panels need to be cleaned, obviously, because they gather dust and shit.
Mm-hmm.
There are people whose whole job it is. They don't install the solar. They don't connect it up. They don't do painting of roofs or any of the other stuff that might be associated with this. Their whole job is just cleaning the solar panels.
Sure.
And they get up on your roof and they're specialists at this. I think
specialists.
I think you should be able to clean your own stuff.
Word specialist.
Specialists.
Did you get served this as an online ad? Because I did the other day. And I was like, this is a legit role.
So when people say, oh, you know,
they had like brooms up and stuff.
When people say like the robots are going to replace us and there's going to be very little work and people are losing jobs, then people will find new jobs. Who knew there were solar panel professional specialist cleaners before now?
Hi, I'm Berlin Klapo, and I'm your housekeeper.
Exactly. All right, let's go to George. He's the guy who knows about these licensed disc things. George, I'm not the only one. Please tell me that you also think it's ridiculous that these two morons can't cut their licensed disc out with a pair of scissors like a primary school kid. Look at them.
They're of the perforated age.
I mean, really, George, you learned to do this. You probably, I mean, I remember at nursery school, we had some pretty intense teachers at nursery school that were like, if you can't cut this shit up, then we're going to blindfold you and you must try. I think we could probably, our generation could manage it with a blindfold on. These two are like, they've got left-handed scissors. They've got the line around there. They still can't get it right. This is embarrassing.
Left-handed scissors. Come Who's left-handed? Simperia, you're left-handed.
Yes. Yeah.
So it sounds like an excuse to me. Wasn't Tom Cruise? He's got dyslexia, right? Sure. He's just one of the people in the world. Lots of famous people have dyslexia. Lots of not famous people have it. And he always complains. His like victim story. Tom Cruise is like obviously a victim. He's the most successful actor in the world. He was like, oh, whoa, when I was at school, where they forced me to use my right-handed scissors. That was his like hard luck story. You know, everybody has to be a victim.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is like, oh, well, I couldn't write with my right hand, but they forced me to. I can't spell. That's his sad story. So
we can't cut. It's okay.
Yours is even worse than Tom Cruise's. Anyway. You've got to check those license discs, though, George, because if they stop you in a roadblock, they'll fine you, or they'll even in a very bad situation, they could even take your car away, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
hectic.
I went and picked up my sister from the airport the other day, and the police, they're all patrolling up and down the airport's drop and go. Came and checked the license disc.
Yeah.
And apparently they will just, lock your car right there if it's unroadworthy or doesn't have a license.
Sometimes at these roadblocks, they've got the tow truck right there to just take your car away.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know these guys are after like bribes and stuff, but some of the time they are empowered by the law to just take your car away.
Hectic.
Yep, impound.
George, what are you driving at the moment? I think I ask you this every time I see you.
A little while ago, I had the Volvo XC60 plug-in hybrid, which was a beautiful car to drive. I had that for about a week. I'd say, you know, in South Africa, that's probably the sensible solution. I've still got my battery electric, but I think for the next 5, 6, 7 years, plug-in hybrid is the better way to go. Mm.
George, tell us the truth now. I know we've all been talking about electric cars now for a couple of years. You're very positive on the electric car front. What percentage of the cars sold in South Africa are electric?
A very small percentage, Gareth. They're up to about 500 a year now.
Nothing.
It's nothing compared to, 30,000 a month.
What are the factors contributing that? Is it just access to?
How about no electricity? That's a good place to start. Okay. Like we're a country that can't even produce the electricity. And I love the way all these environmentalists and these people who are so pro, like, you know, the green movement, and they seem to think that the electricity that you get from your plug is not made by burning fossil fuels. I don't know where they think it comes from. But South Africa is still largely a country, even when we don't have electricity, the electricity that we do have comes from burning coal. So you may have an electric car, but guess what? The electricity that you're charging your car with still comes from those big smoke-producing carbon emission stations in Mpumalanga. Sorry.
It's good point, but no. Gareth, if I can offer the alternative argument, which is a unit of energy in a regular petrol engine vehicle, in the petrol tank, only 20% of that energy translates into energy on the tires.
Heat, okay.
movement, you know, parts have to move in different directions, etc. There's 2,000 moving parts in a car. With an electric car, it's the flip side. 80% of a unit of energy stored in the battery reaches the tires.
So it's an efficiency thing.
Exactly. So you can burn coal all day long, and an electric car will still be more efficient. But the counter argument to that is it takes approximately 3 years for an electric car to become carbon neutral with a fossil fueled car because of the lithium battery and the way it was produced.
Right. Yeah, and all those components are very, very bad on the environment as well. But let's park that, if you don't mind my use of a car term. We were talking, and I know you've got a bunch of things to ask us and we're running out of time, but we were talking about how you can save yourself if you've run out of petrol and you're on empty and your reserve tank is empty. And how long do you usually have in a car? And does it help to turn off the radio and to turn off your air conditioning? You know, all that energy that you're talking about in a petrol car, that can burn off doing those things.
Yeah, aircon is probably the petrol heaviest, so it consumes the most additional fuel when you have it on, but it's also marginal. It's not that much. Maybe you'll get a kilometer or two out of switching off your aircon. The biggest factor is open windows in a car. The moment you've got open windows, you've got a massive amount of drag.
Right. Very good. Okay, now that's a useful thing to know. See?
Close the windows. And most cars have anywhere between 50 to 80 kilometers on the reserve light. So, you know.
That's quite a fair amount.
Yeah. Okay.
George, have you ever been in a Tesla Model S Plaid?
Not in the Plaid, no. Oh. But I've been in the Tesla Model S.
Is it all the hype that they say? Like, do you feel that?
Flax, we don't have time for your questions. George, please, can you and George take this? How do they say it in a meeting? Take this offline. George, what do you have for us? Jesus, I mean, let him. He'll talk to you all day. We'll be here until 9 o'clock.
George is one of the coolest oaks I know.
I know that, but let's. George has got an agenda here, so go on, George. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm not going to go through all the stories because we don't have time. I'm going to cover two things today, and the first thing is AutoTrader has just launched what we call car subscriptions. And you can hear all about it on Monday's podcast, but on cliffcentral.com. But a car subscription. So what car subscriptions is you could do a rent to buy and have a short-term rental on a car. We now offer the ability to search for those cars on AutoTrader's platform. It's live right now. Wow. If you go and fill in your details that you want a subscription. Who's this targeted at? The vast majority of consumers who battle to get finance. That's who it's targeted at.
Very good. We need options. That's a nice one. Good. Okay, excellent. And more people are doing this stuff, right, George? Subscription.
We launched it the other day. Yeah. We got over 150 applications on day one. Sure. And in a week, we've got over 500 applications. So
that's more than the number of electric cars we sell in a year.
Correct.
All right. What else?
All right, let's get into some trivia.
Dibbed on Flax being my teammate because I know that I'm not good. So Flax, the pressure's on. Okay?
We got this. All
right. So it's Flax and Simpiwe versus me. I'm not afraid. Go ahead, George.
Okay, so question number one. In the 1980s, the film Knight Rider, what was the name of David Hasselhoff's talking car?
Okay, I have a generational advantage here. It's Kit.
Kit is the right answer.
And then you know what it stands for? And you know what it stands for? Knight Industries 2000.
That's it.
Common knowledge.
You guys don't even know. You have no David Hasselhoff knowledge to compete with George and I. All right, go ahead. Next question. 1 point to me.
All right. And that is a double T because it's 2000.
Yes, I know.
There we go. So what is the name of the Italian luxury car manufacturer that features a trident as its emblem?
I got Flex. It. Maserati.
There we go, Gareth.
That's what I was going to say.
You got to shout out your answer, you losers.
I didn't shout it out.
You losers. I'm ahead by 2 points.
Trident?
Next.
Okay, next question is, what car did James Dean become famous for that became an American symbol of being posh?
Mercedes.
No.
No. It's American. Way in that last
it's got to be a Cadillac.
Rolls Royce.
No.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
You want to try this one? I'll give it to you for the brand if you like.
No, I don't know. All I know is he James Dean died on a motorbike, right?
Yeah, he did. But the American symbol for freedom and making money. It was a 1955 Porsche 550 Spider. Okay. You know the upside down Bosch story?
Got you. I like it.
This is fun. Yeah. I dig this.
It wasn't a day woman. It wasn't a day woman tiz. All right, what else have we got?
Okay, last question. You've got to have your finger on the buzzer for this one because Gareth might get it, Simpiwe and Flax. What car did Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck, drive in the film Magnum P.I.?
I'm going to go with red Ferrari. I don't remember what kind of Ferrari, but it was a Ferrari. It could have been like a Have I at least got the... I got the brand right.
You've got the brand right. You've got the brand right.
I don't remember which model, though.
458 Italia.
What are you messing up? You're making shit up.
308 GTS.
There we go. All right. But I got Ferrari, so did I get a point?
Yes, of course you get a point. You got Ferrari. And so Gareth, before the start of the show, we'll tally up afterwards, has got 20 points and Piwe 10.
In total. All right.
Sorry, I couldn't help some people.
All right. Okay, well, that's how we're doing this morning. And very, very good way to end the show by me beating Simpiwe and Flax decisively, 3-0.
Oh, my word.
I love it. Gen X for the win. All right. Okay, everybody. Have an excellent weekend. George, thank you very much. Nice to see you, as always. Remember, it is World Heart Day today, everybody. So the interview that's coming up next, I think you're going to find very, very interesting. Dr. Fatima Patel, who's a doctor and a medical manager in the medical department at Aseno Health, had a fascinating chat with a cardiologist who is also the chair of the World Heart Congress here in South Africa, Dr. Farouk Mamdou. I think you'll find it pretty damn interesting. Everybody should listen to this and pass it on to anybody you're worried about in your family, too. This is the thing about podcasts. People should listen to them in their own time, especially if it's something that interests them or that should be of value to them. And you could pass these things on. You can send them the link on WhatsApp, for heaven's sake. It's so easy. All right, everybody. Thank you. We will see you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.